We're on Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis, and we're up to Dekoy Emas Dekoy Neder. We're talking about the Braisa, and leaving aside the discussion of the Braisa with regard to above 10 Tfachim, let's go back to a different dimension of this Braisa. And that is, what day of the week, V'ezi yom b'shavua, Amar oso Adam v'nader es neziruso liyom sheba sheben David ba. Which day of the week did he make this nezirus, to accept upon himself as nezirus? Ilema dekoy b'chol, if we assume that he stood and he made this neder of Nazirus on one of the days of the week, then how could it be that we allow him to drink wine on Shabbos? That's what it says in the Braisa. And yet, came into Chalale Nazirus, it is already Nazirus. In other words, it could be that any of the days of the week has the status of a suffek nazir, any of the days of Chol. Hechi asya shabata umafkale. Is it possible that Shabbos could mafkia the nazirus? In other words, we said that the nazirus takes effect, this neder, immediately, because the possibility that Eliyahu and maybe the Melech HaMashiach had arrived in the Sanhedrin HaGdola, the word hasn't reached him yet. So how could the Shabbos come and remove the prohibitions arising from that vow? It could be that several days ago, Eliyahu and then following him, Mashiach came. He hasn't heard of it yet. Why does the Braisa permit him to drink wine on Shabbos and Yontif? And even on the Shabbos, the possibility exists that Eliyahu and the Mashiach may have arrived on a Thursday and a Friday, and that would prevent him from drinking wine on the Shabbos. Ela dekoy b'shabata v'ka nodar u'b'yom tov v'ka nodar. We must assume, without a choice, that the Braisa is talking about a case where he stood on Shabbos or on Yontif, and he took the neder of Nazirus. Vahu yoma hu desharile. And that day, the Braisa establishes, of Shabbos, the day on which he took the neder, he's allowed to drink wine. Because certainly, Mashiach is not going to come today. Mikan v'yelech osule. From that day on, the day on which he took his neder, it's going to be Asur B'shtiyas Yayin, whether it be during a weekday or whether it's a Shabbos or Yontif, because the Nazirus could be Chal and it's not Paka. So the whole discussion in this Braisa is on the very Shabbos that he took the vow, and it's only on that one day that he's allowed to drink wine, because the Mashiach could not have arrived for the first time on that Shabbos or Yontif. And when the Braisa tells us that he's allowed to drink wine on Shabbos or Yontif, it means only that Shabbos and Yontif on which he took his vow, but not on any subsequent Shabbos or Yontif. On that day, he's permitted to drink, because even if the Mashiach arrived earlier in the week, he would not be a Nazir, because he made a T'nai in his Nazirus, in his Neder, stipulating that it only become active when the Mashiach arrives. His prior arrival, if he arrived prior to the vow, would not fulfill this condition. Now, Pam Achas, The Mishnah says, Lo nichnasu lanamal. On one particular occasion, they were traveling together. The ship did not enter the port until after dark. And they told Rabbi Gamliel, are we allowed to get off the ship? And he said they are allowed to, because he says, I was looking and I noticed that we're within the tchum of Shabbos before nightfall. So Gemara now explains, what exactly was there a certain utensil that Rav Gamliel used in order to check as to whether or not he's inside the tchum? Tana, shfoferes. He has some sort of a hollow reed that's a tube. Hoysalola Rav Gamliel. Shaya mabit v'tzofer ba. He could see through it a distance of alpayim ama biyabosha. 2,000 amas on land. That's the distance he could see. Ukenegda, which means that as they were approaching, there was something similar, as they were approaching the port, he said, Sofa lemerchak alpayim bayam. He could see as through this instrument as their ship was approaching the port, that Rav Gamliel was able to determine that the ship had been within the tchum of the port before nightfall. Shaisa shofer zu mechuvenes bi ofen kazeh shenitana yoler os al yoda ad lishir alpayim ama b'diuk. Could see through it exactly 2,000 amma, bein b'yam, bein b'yabosha. And once Rav Gamliel saw the port through that shofar, he knew that they had already entered into the tchum of the 2,000 amma to the port. The Gemara now says, Harotza leida kama omko shel gei. If a person wishes to know the depths of a certain emek, of a valley, mevi shfoferes, he can bring this kind of a tube that we mentioned, this instrument, umabit ba, and he could see the depth of the valley, ad karkais, until its bottom ground. And therefore, yeda kama omko shel gei, he'll be able to determine the depth of the valley. Now, how can we derive ketad? How do we derive the medida, the measurement of the depths of a valley, from the case of the shofaris of Rav Gamliel? When we said that the merchak that was set, the distance that you could see through this shofaris of Rav Gamliel, is always 2,000 amma. Now all of a sudden, you can figure out the depth of a valley, which might be more than 2,000 amma, less than 2,000 amma. Very strange. Now Rashi, at least the way the Meiri seems to interpret it, says that we're not dealing anymore with the shoferes, that tube of Rabbi Gamliel, but rather a person takes a shoferes, and he had already used it for measurement. He knows exactly the shear that you could see from this tube, and he can estimate, evaluate that shear, he can see through it whether or not it's more or less into the depths of the valley. Like, for example, let's say the valley is 80 amma approximately. He could take a shoferes, which has exactly the mida of 90 amma, and he can determine that the sfas hage, the outside lip of this valley, yabit bolitoch omek hage, looking through it to the depths of the valley, and then he can start moving backwards until he gets to the last point from which he could see the karka with the shoferes, And if he goes a little bit further, a little bit, he's misrachik a little bit more, going backwards, he would no longer see the bottom ground of the valley is no longer visible. He can subtract the shear, the merchak that he was misrachik from the Sfas Sageh, and he knows exactly the depths of this valley. Harotza leida kama govo shel dekel, if he wants to measure exactly the height of a palm tree, and he's afraid to climb the palm tree and actually measure it, then modeid komaso, he should measure his own height, and he also measures the length of tsilo, of the shade of the palm tree, and now, after he measures his own height and the height of the date palm tree, then the ratio of his own height to the length of his shadow can be applied to the length of the tree's shadow to determine the height of the tree. So, for example, if his own shadow is twice as long as his height, he knows that the tree is also half as long as its shadow. And v'tzel komaso, and v'yeda kama hu gova shel dekel. And that's how we can determine the height of the date palm tree. Harotze shalotishre chaya ra betzel kever. So if a person wishes to ensure that a chaya ra, some sort of wild animal, should not rest in the shade of the mountain, of the mound over a grave. So we're talking about a wild animal, let's say a carnivorous animal, then, right, lahogein olem ipnei achama, lefisha lula hi la riach sames, ulechate des kivro. So he wants to protect from the sun, because this wild animal could smell the dead kever, and maybe he'll unearth the corpse. So noetz kana bi arba shos bayom, he should insert some sort of a kana, reed, a stick, into the ground in the fourth hour of the day. That's the time of the day which the difference in temperature between the shade and the sunlight becomes great and causes wild animals to seek out shady places. Let him observe in which direction the shadow slants. He will then know in which direction the shadow falls at that time of the day. Then when he constructs the mound, is mashpia viola mashpia viorid. He inclines the side of the grave in the form of a ramp, preventing any shadow from being cast there. His bone es matseva, he builds up the matseva b'shipua aroch, with a very long slant, mirosh ha-matseva yadakarka, from the top of the tombstone all the way down to the ground, be open in such a way, shalo tehe hamatseva nosenes bisha zu tzel al haoretz, guaranteeing that the matseva will not set up its shade at that time, and the chayra is not going to come to wait in the tzel of the kever. We have a little bit of a diagram or two over here. in the Masifta, and the reason why he is measuring the direction of the shade at the fourth hour of the day is Lefisha Ba'ose Shah Maschila Hashemesh Lechamem Esa'oretz. That's when the sun begins to heat up the ground. Hatzel Adayin Sonein Me'al Laila. The shade is still relatively cool from the night. V'noach Lishos Bo. And that's the time when it's comfortable to remain in the shade. Lefichach, therefore, hachayos misavos leishev oz betzel. These animals want to stay at that hour in the shade. And at that hour, lo yetzel lamatzeva, if at that hour there won't be a shade for this matzeva that's being set by the matzeva, then lo tisha chaya betzida, the animal is not going to remain on the side of the kever, or the matzeva, el techapes makom mutzal acher, will search for a different shady area, and therefore shuv lo tovo lishos al yada matzeva, afilu b'shos acheris bayom, and it will not look for a shade from this matzeva, even during other hours of the day, shebehem yatzel mitzida hasheni shel matzeva. So this is a way of sort of outsmarting the chaya ra. And now the Gemara is going to quote a story about someone who went outside the tchum b'shogeg on Shabbos. The Mishnah told us that according to Rabban Gamliel, if someone was taken out of his tchum and placed in an area that was mukaf mechitzos, an enclosed area, then he's allowed to walk within those mechitzos. We also learned that if someone returns from his original tchum, he regains the use of his tchum. For example, we learned back on Daf Mem Aleph that if a person was stranded outside his tchum, he's permitted to leave his four amos to find a private place in which to relieve himself. If his search brings him back to the tchum, he regains the right to use the tchum because he re-entered the tchum permissibly without violating any iser. So therefore, in general, one who's outside his tchum, but in a closed area, which stretches back to within his tchum boundary, he can now walk back into his tchum and regain the use of his tchum. Now, in the sugi that we're about to learn, the Gemara is going to show Rav Nachman use this ploy to help a student who was strayed beyond his tchum. Nechemia Berei the Rav Chani Loi Mashk Meshachte Shmaita. He was studying and he got very involved in his sugya. And apparently this was going on while he was walking, so he's unaware of the fact that Nofak Chutz Etchum. He was so fatifed and obsessed in his thoughts, he didn't pay attention to the fact that he had left the tchum and gone beyond 2,000 amma. Amale Rav Chizda Rav Nachman. So Rav Chizda notifies Rav Nachman that Nechemia Talmidcha Shori Vitzar, that your student Nechemia is in a state of anguish because he left the tchum of Shabbos B'Shogeg and now he's not able to walk more than four amos. Amalos, Rav Nachman tells Rav Chizda, Aselo, do for Nechemia, Mechitza shel b'nei Adam. Create a human partition. V'ikones al yodam l'toch ha-tchum. So it means take a group of men that have a valid Erev Tachumen that they set up on Erev Shabbos. They're allowed to go until that point where Nechemia is there. set them up in a way that they will surround him on all sides up until the tchum. And that mechitza shel bnei adam, a human mechitza, shma mechitza, is valid as a mechitza. We have here a human mechitza. Now there's going to be a machlokes shin Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda in Sukkah, whether mechitza al yidei bnei adam or balichayim shma mechitza, but we passing like Rabbi Yehuda, mechitza kshera. Kaimalon, mechitza hanasis b'shabes havi mechitza. So we have these two halachas. Then this is a valid, excuse me, mechitza. Therefore, we're going to assume that since he forgot himself, Nechemia, and he walked outside the tchum, he has the same halachic status as someone who was brought out by Nachrim against his will, chutz tchum. And let's say he was placed in a deer or in a sahar, according to Rav Gamliel, he's allowed to walk the entire distance of the deer or the sahar that's mukuf by mechitzos. And now Nechemia will be allowed to walk this entire mechitza until he gets into the tchum. And then he can again reestablish his original status as it was in the city on Erev Shabbos when he was koveya his tchum. Yosef Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Achorei de Rava. Rav Nachman was sitting behind Rava. Yosef Rava Kamei de Rav Nachman. And in front of Rava was Rav Nachman. And this all took place at the time that Rav Chisda asked the question from Rav Nachman. Amalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rava, Mai kami boilei l'Rav Chisda. What is Rav Chisda vacillating about that he had to ask this question? This halacha he had to ask from Rav Nachman. Ilema, if we should say, bidemolu gavre askinon, that Rav Chisda had enough people in his entourage to create a mechitza for this Talmud named Nechemia from the place that he stood, Rav Chisda, up until the tchum, and then v'kami boile, but what was he in doubt about? Hilchos Rav Gamliel, do we accept Rav Gamliel that if a person leaves his tchum b'shogeg, and therefore he's allowed to walk the mechitzos from one side to the other, even though he wasn't shoves mibodyom in those mechitzos, but he was brought there b'shogeg, and therefore Nechemia, this Talmud, would be mutter to go within the mechitza shel bnei adam, even though he wasn't shoves there l'chatchila, and he can go back to his original tchum. And now we're going to turn to Mem Dalet. Oh, or is there another way of understanding Rav Chisda's suffik? Ain halacha k'Rav Gamliel. We paskin like Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva that a person is not allowed to walk within the mechitzos if he wasn't shoves in those mechitzos erev Shabbos, and therefore the mechitza al yidei bnei adam is not going to be effective for Nechemia, and therefore poshat. Rav Nachman answered him, meaning he answered Rav Chisda that halacha is like Rav Gamliel, and therefore the student Nechemia is allowed to walk inside the mechitza. So that's one way of learning it, and basically, the suffix was, do we paskin like Rav Gamliel? Oh, Dilma, or perhaps, Rav Chisda knew that the halacha was like Rav Gamliel. What was his suffix? Bidelo molu gavri askinon. He didn't have enough human beings to create that human partition, that human mechitza, from the place that this student was Nechemia was located now up until the Tchum, but he could create this Mechitza up until Shtei Amos Lifnei HaTchum. So he can only reach up to two Amos in front of the Tchum, becoming Boile. And what was Rav Chizdi's Sofeg? Ha'im Alocha K'Rabbi Eliezer O She'ein Alocha K'Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was of the opinion that a person who leaves Chutz L'Tchum, but he's within two Amos Samach L'Tchum, he's allowed to go out inside of it. Rashoy Likanes L'Tocho, he can go back into the Tchum. We give him that extra two Amos. Here also, we're going to allow creating this Mechitza for Nehemiah, and it'll only bring Nehemiah up to two Amos Samach L'Tchum, but then he's allowed to go into the Tchum even without any Mechitza. Or, alternatively, we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore this whole enterprise to create this Mechitza up until two Amos Samach L'Tchum is not going to have any purpose whatsoever, because Nehemiah won't be able to get back into the Tchum. So Rava replies that it's obvious that we're discussing a case where there were not enough people to form the enclosure that would stretch from Nehemiah's location back to his Tchum. And Rav Chizdi is asking whether the halacha of paskins like Rabbi Eliezer or not. So that's called Pshita B'delo Molu Gavri Askin. If you're going to raise the possibility that we're discussing a case where there are enough people to form a mechitza that encloses this area, including the tchum, and he's asking whether the halacha follows Rav Gamliel or not, mighty boyle, why would he ask such a question? Ha'amar Rav halacha ki Rav Gamliel. Now Rav said, again Shmuel disagrees, but Rav said that we paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, bedir v'sar u'besfina. In all the cases, whether it's the corral, whether it's the fold, whether it's the ship, so he permits a person to move through an entire enclosed area, even though he was not there at the start of Shabbos, and Nehemiah certainly would have been permitted, therefore, to walk through the enclosed area, which was formed by the human partition, returned to his original tchum. Elavadai b'delo molu gavri askinon with Rabbi Lozar, Rabbi Eliezer komi boile. Do we pass like Rabbi Eliezer? Rava also wants to bring support for this, and he says dekonami. I can deduce it from Rav Nachman's response to Rav Chizda, the ka'amar le'i kanes. Right, he told Rav Chizda, make a human partition for him and let him enter. So what does Yikanes mean? Lav below Mechitza. It would have to mean that Rav Nachman was saying, let him enter into an area that's not enclosed by the Mechitza. And that could only make sense if you go like Rabbi Eliezer, that you give him that extra two Amos. So let's just go back and repeat the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Where is it here? Just 1 second. I want to just read this. Here it is. Halacha Rabbi Eliezer. And this is Rabbi Eliezer mentioned in the Mishnah later on Daf Nun Beis, that Rabbi Eliezer permits a person who's within two amas of the Tchum to return into the Tchum. Okay, fine. So now the Gemara is going to focus on the main aspect of Rav Nachman's ruling that you're allowed to make a partition on Shabbos, and he permitted forming this human Hekef Mechitzos on Shabbos. So, of course, there's an Iser of Meleches Bona on Shabbos. There's also an Iser, if you make a temporary binyan, let's say you add to a permanent existing structure some sort of an extension, right? That's Mosif al Binyan Aroy. That's also prohibited on Shabbos, at least Midrabanan. And in the case in which Rav Nachman ruled that you could make this human mechitza, it would seem at the face of it that it might be a violation of a drabbanan. It certainly would not be binyan d'oraisa, because he is not creating some sort of a permanent structure. But as far as the Darbona is concerned, Eisvei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak L'Rava, the Braisa says, apparently with regard to Sukkah, that Nafal Dofna, if the wall of the Sukkah falls on Yontif, Lo Yamid Ba'odom Behema V'Kelim, he's not allowed to put an animal or a person or Kelim utensils to stand in the place where the Dofen fell. He's not allowed to put up a bed in order to spread a sheet over it that would serve in the place to replace the dofen, even though he appears merely to be clearing the sukkah floor. It doesn't seem like he's building a wall, but you're not allowed to even make a temporary structure on Yontif. That's betchila if you start it from scratch. And if that be the case, then although this is not meleches bona d'oraisa, but at least on a drabbanon, since you're constructing a new structure, let it be, albeit temporary in nature, it's osim drabbanon. And we should seemingly apply that here to this case of the human mechitza that he's setting up. Goes without saying that on Shabbos it's Asur. Anything that's Asur on Yontif is for sure Asur on Shabbos. And so if you place something which is inconspicuous, but it serves as a wall, that's forbidden on Shabbos and Yontif. How could Rav Nachman instruct Rav Chisda then to create this human mechitza on Shabbos? Amalei, so Rava responds of Nachman Yitzchak, at Amrit Limeha. You're telling me, based on a braisa, that it's prohibited to create a human enclosure on Shabbos. I know I'm mina l'cha meha. I'll tell you that's permissible based on the following braisa. The braisa says, Osa Adam es chavero dofen. A person can use his friend as the wall of a sukkah, k'dei sheyochal v'yishta v'yishan, allowing him to eat, drink, and sleep in the sukkah. And these are, of course, the main mitzvahs of yeshiva v'sukkah. He's allowed to put up a bed at the edge of the sukkah, spread a sheet over it, so the sunlight should not fall on the corpse, which would cause decomposition, or on the food, causing it to spoil. So the braisa would apparently permit forming a human mechitza on Shabbos itself. And if the braisa permits putting up a bed on Shabbos to serve as a dofen of a sukkah, it would certainly permit forming a human enclosure as well. So now that Rav has defended Rav Nachman's decision, quoting a braisa that supports it, but we had a braisa that contradicts that position, that was the braisa that was cited by Rav Nachman by Yitzhak, the Gemara says, Kasha and Adadi. The two braisas seem to contradict one or the other. And the Gemara answers, Lo Kasha. This is not a difficulty. Why? Ha Rabbi Eliezer and Ha Rabbanan. So the braisa, which is lechumra and doesn't allow you to put up a temporary mechitza, that reflects the shita Rabbi Eliezer. And the second braisa, which allows creating this temporary mechitza, that reflects the shita of the Rabbanan, the Snan. And now we're going to learn a Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos with regard to plugging up a window. A shutter is pkaka chalon. Rabbi Eliezer omi bizman shekosher v'tolui pokekim bo. Rabbi Eliezer will only allow you to shutter up the window on Shabbos if you have two conditions that are met. It's got to be kosher v'tolui. It means that this shutter is attached by a rope to the window itself and it's suspended in air. Then and only then, pokekimbo, are you allowed to shutter up the window, close it up on Shabbos. And the reason for this is because if you have a temporary construction, a binyan aroy, an ol aroy, placing a shutter in a window which goes in and out, the shutter, it's inside the window, when you want to plug up the window, close the window, and then you take it off. All that is asur min rabbanan, because it's similar to an oel kva, to a permanent structure, a binyan keva, which is, of course, a melacha d'oraisa. If the shutter on the other end is attached to the window, it was tied down to the window, it never even rests on the ground, so it's not a separate entity from the window, we see it as part of the structure. So when he shutters the window, he's not adding in any way to the structure, to the building, and that's why it's permissible. That's according to Rabbi Eliezer. V'chachomim omrim ben kach uben kach pokikimbo. That we can shutter, close the window with this shutter, with this pkak, and it matters not whether it's tied down to the window or not tied down to the window. Which means that adding to a binyan, but only on a temporary basis, and you're not creating a whole new binyan, is mutter. So that since he closes the window and then opens the window, that makes it temporary. And not only that, he's not creating a new structure, he's only adding to a structure. That's mutter if it's temporary. So we could say that Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that usur, that you're not allowed to be pokek the chalon, even if it's on a temporary basis, and even if he's only adding to a structure, he would also, like, with the only exception of toli, kosher toli, he would also prohibit setting up this this sukkah wall on a temporary basis. And that first brisa that asks it reflects indeed the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, who allow you to be pokek the chalon, to shutter up the window and close it because it's only a temporary addition to a pre-existing structure, would also permit creating a temporary wall in a sukkah. Now, if it were up to me, I would have said it's a little different, the Rabbanan of Mekil, in the case of pokenus chalon, because the shutter itself is designated to be used as the closing, for the purpose of closing the window. It's already considered part of the structure. It's been there before, but now you want to add a dofen or a new replacement. You know, you want to put a person or an animal or, I don't know, a utensil there. That's creating a new tosefes binyan. But let's see why the Gemara rejects this tlut, this linkage. For itmar Allah, with regard to this machlok, shin Rabbi Yezin Chachomim, in the case of pokikin b'chalon, omer Rabbi Bar Barachon, omer Rabbi Yochanan, modim hakol modim she'ein osim oel aroy b'tchila b'yantif. Whether it's the Rabbanon and certainly Rabbi Eliezer, they both agree you're not allowed to create a temporary structure from the get-go on Yom Tov, Ein Tzarich Lo B'Shabbos, and certainly on Shabbos. Lo nechelku el lahosiv. Only the only kula, the only little window, so to speak, pardon the pun for being lenient here, is because we're talking about lahosiv. She Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ein Mosifim B'Yontif. You can't add even a temporary part of the structure, part to the structure on Yontif. V'ein Tzarich Lo B'Shabbos and Tzarich Lo B'Shabbos. V'chacham Omrim Mosifim B'Shabbos. If you're adding something that's temporary to a pre-existing structure, then you're allowed to do that on Shabbos, and how much more so in Tzarich Lo B'Yontif. So the second brisa, which was quoted by Rava, cannot be attributed to the Shitas Chachamim in Pokinas Chalon. You can't explain that brisa and the kula therein based on the Chachamim who permit a temporary addition. It's a tosefes to a pre-existing wall. But now in your case, in the case of the sukkah, you're putting up a new wall. So I think this is more or less what we were trying to say before, based on our own understanding. Ela lo kasha. So this is not difficult for a different reason. And we can resolve the two brises and the discrepancy therein. Ha Rabbi Meir, Vaha Rabbi Yehud, the brisa that allows you to put up a complete but temporary sukkah wall on Yontif reflects the shita of Rabbi Meir. And Ha Rabbi Yehud, the brisa which prohibits it, reflects the shita of Yehud, the sanya we learned in a brisa. Asa'a Levehema Dofen
l'sukkah, if he sets up an animal as a sukkah wall, Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Okay, this machlok is now whether an animal could be considered a valid dofen of a sukkah. Rabbi Meir invalidates it because the animal could escape, and that's going to leave the sukkah with minus one dofen, and we need desperately that dofen. And Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about that, so he rules that the dofen is valid, and therefore the sukkah is kshera. So now, how is that machlokas relevant to reconcile the distinction, the discrepancy between the two brisos? Rabbi Meir de Kapasil Hasam, Rabbi Meir, who says that the animal is invalid as a dofen alma lo mechitzahi. The animal is not a valid mechitza because it moves around, as we said before, and the animal may escape. But hachashari. Now, in the case where the wall of a sukkah fell down on Yontif, he would permit placing an animal in that space. Why? Dilav midika ovid. He's not really accomplishing anything. The sukkah remains psula because the animal cannot serve as a dofen. Now, the animal serves as a temporary wall. It's not capable of being machshir the sukkah to render the sukkah valid. And now we're going to assume that Rabbi Meir permits putting up a temporary partition, even though it's completely new. It's not just adding to a pre-existing structure, and therefore you could use the animal just simply for privacy on the inside of the sukkah, not as a dofen, because an animal cannot be a dofen. And the reason why Rabbi Meir is going to be mekel here, because the sukkah remains invalid. If it would have been valid by placing the animal there, it would be aser, even though it's only temporary. And Rabbi Yehuda, he says that it's kosher, meaning that the animal is a valid dofen asukkah. Al mechitzi, we see that the animal is considered a chal shei mechitza, and hocha osar, right, in the case that a wall fell down, a wall of the sukkah fell down, then he would not allow you to complete the sukkah by placing an animal to stand in the place of the wall. That would accomplish the goal of being machshir the sukkah. Now we have to ask ourselves the question, why is the issue of setting up the animal, or whatever you want to set up now, let's get to the animal case first, on Yontif, whether that depends upon whether it's machshir the sukkah or it's not machshir the sukkah. So let's go through this. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he considers an animal to be a mechitza, and it's a valid wall for the sukkah. By placing it, he really is machshir the sukkah. That means he's really creating a structure. Do you follow me? Because the mechitza is valid, he's creating a structure, he's creating a binyan. And that's why it should be aser. The other braisa, where the animal is, let's say, providing privacy, but it doesn't in any way be machshir the sukkah, he's not creating a new structure, and therefore it's permissible on Yontif. And this would be a reconciliation of the contradiction between the two brisos. Okay, so the brisa that which Rava had quoted that permits using an animal in place of a wall, the brisa says that the use of the animal would render the sukkah valid for eating, sleeping, etc. Now, how can we attribute that to Rabbi Meir, who says that the animal is not valid as a mechitza? So Rashi says that in Chinami, the Gemara could have rejected this resolution on that basis, but instead it didn't bother doing so. It found other sufficient grounds to reject it. And that is where we're up to with the Tisbara. The Tisbara. And is it really feasible that the brisa that allowed you to put up the sukkah wall on Yontif is based and reflects the Shita Rabbi Meir? Amar de Shamas Le de Rabbi Meir. When did Rabbi Meir say that it's invalid to use a behema as a sukkah wall? that's only in the case of a behema. Because as we said before, the behema might just run away. You never heard him invalidate a wall as a mechitza if it's made up of a person or kelim or utensils. A person can be told that he has to remain standing as long as it's necessary. The utensils are inanimate objects. So based on your logic, therefore, Rabbi Meir would prohibit using an adam or kelim for sukkah walls on yontif, but the prices that Rava quoted explicitly allows the use of humans and utensils as a sukkah wall. Vesu, and furthermore, Rabbi Meir aliba deman. According to whom does Rabbi Meir allow you to put up a new temporary wall? Ialeba de Rabbi Eliezer. If it's according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you cannot shutter a window, ein pokin esachalon, unless it's kosher vitolui. Is therefore lahosif nami also. Rabbi Eliezer holds that you're not allowed to add even something temporary to a pre-existing binyan. So certainly he would prohibit making a completely new sukkah wall with an animal. Ela libe de rabbanon. If you're going to say that Rabbi Meir's psak reflects the shita rabbanon with regard to pokin and sachalon, that they allow you to shutter up the window, Emer Diyavar Rabbanon Lahosif, but Lechatchilami Amur. Even the Rabbanon, who allow you to be pokek the chalon, to shutter up the window, that's only because you're adding to a pre-existing structure. But they never went as far as permitting starting a new structure, even if it's temporary, such as a new sukkah wall. So it's impossible to really link up this discrepancy between the two prices to the Machlok stream, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, Ela rather, Havaha Rabbanon. Both prices reflect the opinion of the Chachamim. And the Chachamim allow you to make a temporary addition to a pre-existing structure. The Kelim HaKelim Lokasha, the first price, with regard to utensils, using them as a dofen of the sukkah, doesn't contradict the second brisa with regard to using utensils as a dofen. Ha b'dofen shlishis, ha b'dofen revius. The brisa that prohibits putting up utensils, a bed or something like that, as a sukkah wall, that's because it's crucial to get that third wall, because you already have two-walled structure, two defanos. That's not kosher for a sukkah. I need a minimum of three defanos. So if I put a utensil to serve as a third dofen, it's like completing a new binyan. I've created a new binyan. And that's prohibited even on a temporary basis. But hod b'dofen revius, if you're talking about the brisa which permits placing utensil as a dofen of a sukkah because it's temporary, that's referring to the fourth wall of a sukkah, in which case you already have three kosher walls, and you're not being machshir a sukkah, and therefore you're not creating a new structure on Shabbos. Deikonami, and we can deduce this from reading meticulously the first price. It says the ketoni nofal dofna, that the wall fell, and it seems that the price is talking about a critical wall that fell, which would have to be the third wall. Shema mina. We derive from this that the first brisa, which prohibits putting up a temporary construction, that's where the wall itself is machsha the sukkah, and it creates a new structure because it's the third wall. And now we go on to Mem Dalet Amud Beis, Ela Adam HaAdam Kasha. But what do we do with the case of Adam, according to the first brisa, that says that you're allowed to put the Adam, and second brisa prohibits it. The first brisa prohibits, but the first brisa is the one that prohibits using a person to replace the sukkah wall. The second brisa permits it. Now, since the second brisa opines that placing the person there will be matir, achila, and shena, and so forth in the sukkah, clearly we're dealing with the third wall. So what would be the basis underlying the heter in the second brisa? If he's really creating a sukkah, he's creating a new structure. Gemara says, Adam lo kasha kan lidas, kan shelo lit midas. that the first braisa is talking about a case where the person is aware that he's being used as a machitza for sukkah. And that's forbidden, that's asur, because since he has the intention of serving as a machitza, then it becomes similar to a wall of the dolphin of the sukkah, and it's very similar to Blechas Bona. But the second braisa, the person is unaware of the fact that he's being used as a machitza, and therefore it's permissible to use this person. And even though you're not allowed to erect a new temporary structure on Yontif, setting up a new machitza, which is going to be machsha the sukkah, making it into a structure, even if it's temporary, but we can use a person who's unaware of his function because he thinks he's standing there for another reason. He's not standing in any way that's similar to a wall. He's not being arranged, you know, let's arrange him to stand there and resemble a partition. A utensil, though, cannot be used as one of the sukkah's crucial defanos, because utensils are used as partitions, but a man is not generally used as partitions. So now let's just think. We want to get back to that student and let's get back to it. First of all, we now have resolved this seeming contradiction between the two braises. Now let's apply these maskaras, these rules, to Rav Nachman in the case of a human enclosure to enable Rav Nechemia to return back to his tchum. V'hod Rav Nechemia b'reid Rav Chani lai. Now, in the case that involved this student, Lidas Hava, the people were actually being used deliberately. They were very well aware of the fact that they were being sent on this mission to create mechitzos and form an enclosure to aid this Rav Nechemia. So how can we allow this? And he went to Shalomi Dasav, and the people were unaware of the fact that they were being used as a machitza, which again is a little bit of a stretch. You know, what did Rav Chisda say to them? You know, assemble in that location. He didn't tell them exactly what it's for. Rav Chisda, Mi'ol Dasav, wouldn't it be enough that Rav Chisda himself, who gathered the people together, he knew that they were serving the function of being a machitza? That itself should make it usur. And not only that, Rav Chisda himself, it seems, was part of the mechitza. He was one of the people that surrounded the Nechemia. So the answer is, Rav Chisda shelo min haminyan hay. In other words, the others who were unaware of the purpose, why they were there, they didn't know why they were being assembled, and they were used to form the mechitza. Rav Chisda was not one, he wasn't included. In other words, every single part of the mechitza was filled by another person, and you didn't have any opening that needed Rav Chisda. So according to the Chachamim, who would allow making a temporary addition to a structure on Yontif in the case of Pokekin, if a sukkah already has three proper walls, there are three defanos, it's a valid sukkah, you can put up a temporary fourth partition, for example, for the purpose of protecting it against the sun or further privacy, etc. But if the sukkah is missing a third wall, then you'd all have to put up a temporary third wall. Let's say, for example, the case of a utensil, and you can't ask a person to serve as the third wall if that person's aware of the fact that he's functioning as a replacement for the wall of the sukkah. You can ask him to stand there in a way that he's unaware of his function, and that's not at all similar to Melechas Bona, to building a building. So again, everybody agrees that it's forbidden to create a new, even temporary structure, but one can make a new structure out of people who are unaware of the function they're serving. And that sheds a light now, to sew it all up, on the situation of Nechemia, when the people were being used by Rav Chisda as a group to create machitzos that surround Rav Nechemia, just like in the case of a person who's being used to create the sukkah third wall, the crucial wall, but only because he's unaware of that function. He doesn't know why he's functioning in that capacity. So this leads us to Hanu B'nei Gnona, which is here on Mem Dalid Amud Beis, and it's the two dots that are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down from the top of Daf Mem Dalid Amud Beis.